you everyone for joining me for this course. Welcome everyone. I would love to start with some self-connection. One of my goals in life is to be as connected to myself as possible and to support others to be as connected to themselves as possible. So I'm going to lead a little self-connection and then we'll move into the course from that place. And I really respect that you might have your own ways of doing self-connection. So if the way I'm guiding self-connection isn't working for you, feel free to do what does work for you. So to start with, I invite you to just notice your breath. And how deep is it going into your body? Just do a little scan of your body, and if it feels right for you, maybe a little stretch. I really love to honor the body, so a little stretch. You need to release any bigger breath. What I like to do sometimes is in through the nose and out through the mouth. And then I invite you to close your eyes if that feels comfortable. Otherwise, just a nice soft gaze so that you can have your attention going inward. And I invite you to bring to mind either a part of yourself that can hold yourself with unconditional acceptance or someone who represents that for you. Or something that represents that for you. So it might be a friend or a family member, it might be something from nature, it might be an animal, or it might just be a part of you that has that capacity to hold yourself just as you are. I like to call this part my inner leader. Whether I'm using a part of myself or I'm calling in someone else, my inner leader, you might have another term. Sometimes I've called it my compassionate companion, my nurturing parent. And I like to have this inner leader say to me, I've got you. I'm right here with you. And then I have my inner leader do a deeper scan, starting in my face, and it just welcomes whatever tension I might be holding in my face, particularly in my jaw, whatever it finds. It's unconditionally accepting. It says, welcome tension in the jaw. I've got you. Welcome whatever I find in my neck and shoulders. And it follows my breath down into my chest. I notice some bubbling energy there. It's welcome bubbling energy in my chest. Inner leader welcomes whatever it finds, with warmth, with compassion, with unconditional acceptance. And then all the way into my belly. Welcome any tension in my belly. Maybe I need to have another breath down right into my belly. That's sometimes how I welcome whatever's there. Sometimes I put a hand on my belly or wherever I'm holding tension. Whatever helps me bring my full presence, whatever helps my inner leader go and hold that with unconditional acceptance. Any emotions that you find, welcome those emotions with your inner leader. I notice excitement in that bubbling energy. I notice nervousness. I notice an impulse to speed up. And I just welcome all of that with my inner leader. I've got you. I've got you. And then I look for any needs that are alive, particularly in the places where I'm holding the tension. And my inner leader just offers a guess. Is there a need for acceptance? Is there a need for trust? And then I'm going to put myself in some place in my mind where I feel so supported, so strong, which right now it'll be in a men group that I belong with, in a circle of men. I might imagine them at my back. So my inner leader's got all my different parts, but so does my men's group, or maybe sometimes I put myself in the forest. Whatever it is that helps me feel the most connected, solid, safe, grounded. Okay. Thank you for joining me in that self-connection. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself as well. I've been teaching nonviolent communication for about 10 years, and I've been incorporating attachment theory and interpersonal neurobiology, IPMB, for about 5 years. And I will be practicing this for the rest of my life. I consider myself an ongoing learner with always more to discover about relationships, about myself, and about what makes life really wonderful. I have two assistants with me. One is Jenna Card and Nancy Barker. So my goals are to give you a comprehensive understanding of different kinds of empathy, different kinds of listening, and how they can enrich your relationships, expand your capacity for regulating emotions, and help you move through stuck places and challenging conflict. And my other goal is to give you a clear understanding of what happens in relationships and why and what to do about it. And then there'll be things to explore and play with between the classes, specific processes to practice during and in between classes, and questions and topics to journal and explore as well between classes. And I also hope to cultivate some community and connection between you. I'm a strong believer in community as a crucial resource for building healthy relationships. So the plan for the course, class one, we'll be exploring empathy and listening approaches. Class two will be the IPNB, interpersonal neurobiology. Class three, attachment theory. Class four, the shadow. And there will definitely be some overlap as we go through these things, but that's the overall plan. And then we'll explore different concepts and theories through the slides, but lots of breakout practice, demos, Q&A. And then a few principles that I hold that I'm going to share just so you have a sense of some of where I'm coming from. The first one is that nonviolent communication for me is about connection. So the question that I am asking when I'm practicing nonviolent communication is, what's most connecting? And the communication part of nonviolent communication is a strategy that I can use to try to contribute to connection. But there are many ways I can work towards connection, and sometimes language needs to be different. So I'm stressing this because sometimes the getting really inspired about the language of nonviolent communication can get us into trouble if we're not open to looking at other ways to develop connection. Another principle is that there are many ways to be in relationships, whether the relationship is a romantic one or familial or platonic, that I don't see that there is one right way to do relationship. I'm really open to each person finding the way that works for them. And I already mentioned community really matters. I really think that often in relationships, there's a lot of pressure on a relationship because we're not as connected to community the way we used to be, sharing lives more, sharing meaning, sharing ritual, sharing emotion, sharing conflict. So a lot of what used to happen in community tends to happen all in a single relationship. And I believe that's one of the reasons relationships can be so difficult. Another principle is that the body matters. So a lot of what I'll be focusing on this course is connecting to the body. Connecting to the body supports the brain to process emotions and to make better sense of what's happening, to have more attunement with ourselves, but also with others. And it helps us better connect to our feelings and needs. And your past matters. There's a great deal of brain development that happens in early childhood, and so the things we experience in early childhood tend to get wired in pretty strongly, and we then carry that wiring along with us. However, the brain is also neuroplastic, so we can change our brain wiring. The past also matters in that trauma tends to get passed along from generation to generation unless it gets supported and healed. So we can learn a lot about what's going on in our present relationships by understanding what happened during childhood. And lastly, all of our parts matter. This is touching into the shadow work. All of our emotions matter. All of our personality traits matter. Generally, most of us have to disown different things in childhood in order to belong and be accepted. And in order to make our adult relationships work, we need to reclaim those parts. Okay, so let's jump into some practice with one of my favorite tools for peace. I love that quote at the bottom there that says, "I do not want the peace which passeth understanding. I want the understanding which bringeth peace." And one of the tools then I use to bring about that understanding is the question, can I see if I understand you? I use this question a lot, or some version of it. Can I see if I'm getting you? Can I see if I'm hearing you right? Something like that. I especially use it when things are getting more intense, when conflict is starting to bubble up. But I would like to use it now in a more playful and easeful way for practice. So in a moment, you'll be put into pairs to practice and to get to know each other a little bit. And when you're with your pair, you're each going to take a turn to share something that you really enjoy doing. And then your partner is going to say, "Can I see if I understand you?" And they're going to tell you back what they heard as closely as they can in the way that you said it. So, for example, Jenna, would you help me demo this? I'll do this demo with Jenna, and then we'll see if there are any questions. So, Jenna, one thing I really enjoy doing, and by the way, the question is, what do you enjoy doing and why? So what I really enjoy doing is writing songs, because I love to play with words and meaning, and I get to discover things about myself that I wasn't aware of. And then Jenna says,
can I see if I understand you, Eric?
Yes, please.
I'm hearing that one of the things you really love to do is to play with music and write songs as it leads to self-discovery.
And then what she can finish with is the phrase, which is that right? Did I get you right? Something like that. To check if she did, in fact, understand me.
Did I understand you?
And I would say either, yes, you got me, or yes, and there's this part as well. I get to learn something about myself, you know, if there's something that she missed that I want to have included. And then maybe there's more time in my turn, so maybe I share more about that. I also love, and I continue on, and each time I share something, my partner catches me with, can I see if I understand you? And did I get that right? Okay, thank you. Let's move on into some of the content. I am very passionate about empathy, so here we go. Non-empathy. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to make sure this is part of being clear on what empathy is by being clear on what it isn't. Non-empathy responses, they include things like gathering data, one-upping, feeding the fire, giving advice, storytelling, shutting down, encouraging, sympathizing, analyzing, ordering, educating, distracting, correcting, consoling, and coaching. And there's probably more, but those are the ones that I've been able to think of. In the consciousness of nonviolent communication, everything we're doing is an attempt to meet a need. So I really don't want you to think that any of these are wrong. These are all attempts to meet needs, but they're also not empathy. Empathy in traditional nonviolent communication is simply putting our attention on feelings and needs. So I've listed out a few different listening options that we're going to explore in this course. And one of them we've already started with, and that's content reflection. So content reflection is not empathy in the nonviolent communication practice. However, it's helpful for building connection and for helping people to sort out their thoughts and get more clear in themselves. We're going to go through some different listening options that tend to support connection. Content reflection doesn't include feelings and needs, it includes just what we did, is reflect back the content, the thought, the word. And I find this particularly helpful if I'm on the edge of new thinking or if I'm a little confused about what I'm trying to say. So helpful to hear back what I've just said so I can organize what I'm trying to say and get more clear and maybe get a new insight or a new understanding. It's also helpful to use if I'm drawing a blank on what this person's needs might be, then I'll just stay with the content and reflection. And again, there's that phrase, can I see if I understand you? What I'm trying to acknowledge with that partly is that this type of communication can be quite unusual for people. So some people get frustrated or a little suspicious if you just start telling them back what you heard them say. They're just not used to that, and maybe they haven't had good experiences with that. They don't know what's happening. So I like to start with, can I see if I understand you? And I might build on that if I find it helpful. Hey, I want to see if we can work through this together. You know, we're starting to get into a fight, and I think it might be helpful if I try to understand you first. It's just really letting them know what I'm doing before I do it. With content reflection, we're not trying to add anything. We're not building on anything that someone said. We're not trying to introduce new ideas. We're trying to help them sort out the ideas that they're sharing or the thoughts that they're sharing. So the traditional nonviolent communication empathy, again, is listening for feelings and needs. And what that helps us do is get in touch with our feelings and needs. And our needs are the things that are most important to us. So now we're being heard at the level of what's most important in regards to whatever we're sharing. It's a wonderful way to be heard and understood. It also tends to help the parts of the brain that are trying to regulate whatever emotions are going through the body or in the brain. So they've done research that shows that by naming emotions out loud, that the amygdala relaxes a little more from sending out the stress signals. The amygdala is part of the brain that tends to generate stress and emotions. So the traditional nonviolent communication empathy helps us to be with feelings and to get in touch with what's most important. Out loud, it sounds like, are you feeling confused because you need clarity? Are you feeling scared? Do you need safety? And it's really important that you're phrasing it as a question. With empathy, we're not telling someone what their feelings and needs are. We're asking and we're letting them decide and get clear in themselves. Sometimes empathy is done silently. We're just quietly putting our attention on this person's emotional energy, and we're guessing silently what their needs might be. And there are different reasons for doing it silently, maybe because they're settling quite well into their own regulation and they don't want to get in the way of that. Or maybe they've let us know they do not want us to reflect back their feelings and needs, and it's actually going to contribute to more stress for them if we start reflecting back. So sometimes silent empathy is more helpful. Or you might want to practice somatic-based empathy. Somatic means the body. Soma is another word for the body. So somatic-based empathy involves really giving your full attention to your body. And if you're receiving it from someone else, then having someone else help you give your full attention to the body. So the traditional nonviolent communication is, are you feeling scared? Do you need safety? The somatic-based empathy is essentially, what do you notice in your body? What are the sensations that you're feeling right now as you're sharing this? And the sensations are things like a bubbling of energy in my chest, clenching in my belly, tightness in my jaw. My breath only goes to my chest. Hands are cold. It's infinite. Whatever's there, you're just naming the sensations as best as you can describe them. What I love about this is it really helps my attention go into my body. I can say the words, yeah, I'm feeling scared, I need trust, but I'm actually not taking time to drop into my body and notice and be with the fear and the sensations that come with it. When we go into the body, again, this helps us calm. I use the word regulate a lot, and regulate is just basically another word for calm. I don't want to quite make them synonymous because my goal is not always to calm all my emotions. It's to be with them without them overwhelming me and also not having to shut off from them. So, you know, I don't always want to calm whatever I'm feeling, but I don't want it to overwhelm me. So that's what I mean by regulate. Often there's some degree of soothing or calming that's part of it. We're going to break up into partners again and try this out so you can literally just follow the steps. And I'm going to go through them here before that. And actually, I wonder if, Jenna, you'd be willing to help me demo this.
Yes, I would.
I'll be partner A, you be partner B. So partner A, I share a few sentences about something, and then I pause. My girlfriend is coming home tonight, and she has been away for 4 weeks.
Eric, would you be willing to tell me what sensations you're noticing in your body when you think of this?
I'm noticing my body's kind of dancing around a little bit. I feel a tightness in my belly and a big smile on my face.
Nice. What emotions do you notice in these sensations?
Excitement, kind of like Christmas morning for a five-year-old, and anxiety as well.
Do you have a need for, I don't know, connection with her and maybe some reassurance?
So when I get a needs gas, I really like to slow down and really take it in and see how does it feel in my body. Now, reassurance definitely landed nicely. I noticed my belly relax. Connection, yeah, it's something more than that. It's like celebration or something like that.
Celebration.
And that pretty much takes us to tell partner how the guest lands for you. And then I can go right back up and share more about why there's excitement and anxiety or anything else that's there. And then we simply cycle through the steps.
Yeah, as partner B, what I might offer is, can you tell me more about, prompt with a question, can you tell me more about her coming home or more about excitement, celebration?
Thank you, Jenna. Yeah, that's a wonderful question to invite partner A to continue through back to step one. And is everybody in the partner now?
That everyone, you're on breakout now. I'm going to open your mics and you're ready to go.
Okay, and again, just before you start, please feel free to use the slide right there in front of you. We don't need to make this any harder. We're all just learning and practicing. Would love to hear from a few people, questions or comments, either one.
Hey, we got a couple.
I just wanted to share from my perspective that I really appreciate this particular exercise because for me, getting into my body was one of the most important things that I started to learn when I started to learn NBC and these other things. And to connect it again with offering feelings and needs guesses seems like the whole package to me. So I just want to express my appreciation for this particular exercise.
Thank you. And just hearing it really gives you a full experience of your body. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wonderful. So glad to hear that.
All right. Next question.
I love the self-empathy aspect of this exercise. I just really became aware of the fact that noticing my physical sensations was a very empathetic thing to do for myself. It helped me relax a little bit around the strong emotions and helped me gain more insight into what I was feeling. So thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. This way of doing empathy really changed things for me. Made empathy more, it added depth and richness and presence and connection. And it really helped me to connect more with people that I'm giving empathy to as well. Especially if I, now that I'm more aware of when their amygdala is running and they're not regulating things as well, then definitely I'll invite them to explore what's going on in their body. And I want to, with that in mind, mention under number step one, you'll see the connected interrupting, which I'll do a lot with some kind of phrase that's similar to, I'd like to stay connected with you. Would you be willing to tell me what sensations you notice in your body? Or I'll say, I'd like to stay present with you. Would you be willing to tell me what sensations you notice in your body? Depending on who I'm with. If I'm with an empty buddy, I find that's pretty easy to do. In other situations, I might do it differently. Okay. So let's go on to self-empathy. I have a fairly involved self-empathy process. I don't always do all of it the way it's written out. I have different approaches to self-empathy, basically depending on how much time I have. But what I really enjoy with my self-empathy practice is working with my inner leader, or whatever you name I happen to be giving it. Sometimes it's my nurturing grandmother. Sometimes it's my compassionate companion. Right now I'm really liking inner leader because the way I make sense of myself is that I'm made up of all these different parts. And a part is personality trait or some kind of character, or, for example, an inner critic or a young child part or a teenage part. There's lots of parts, so those are a few examples. And in my life, I don't want to disown any of them. I want to have all of them feel like they matter and that they belong. And I don't want a lot of them to be in the lead. I don't want to lead in life from my inner critic or from my wounded child or from my teenager. So having this, some sense of an inner leader, whether it's part of me or somebody or something that I bring in that represents that, really helps me work both, which is both meaning that whatever part is activated gets to be held with empathy, but also doesn't take over and run the show. And of course, I'm not always successful with that in any given moment, but as a self-empathy practice, I find it very helpful, sometimes just very beautiful, very connecting. So let's go through it. I'm just going to go through it out loud as if I'm doing it for myself, and then you are invited to take it and practice it during the week. My step one, a clear judgment-free observation. So here's one I've been working with a lot. My girlfriend, away, 4 weeks. And adding to that, doing a very intensive program about relationship and very intimate ground with the same group of people day after day. That last part is particularly the part of the observation, doing very intimate process work with people day after day for 4 weeks. That's my observation. So I bring forth my inner leader, and I'm putting myself with my men's group or in the mountain, and I know I've got different parts activated, and one of them is a very young part. Because I've been working with this part for a while in different contexts, I have a fairly good sense of it as a quite a young part. And so for my first step is, as soon as I notice that whatever part is activated, I bring my inner leader and I say, I've got you. I've got you. And I just found that that is a really helpful beginning entry point into the empathy. That whatever part is activated in me feels like it's not alone. Because there's something, my inner leader, that's got it, that's with it. So I have different phrases I work with. Usually it's something like, I've got you, or I'm with you, or I'm right here. And generally, I've used that. I had a big trigger that came up the other day, and I used that for myself, and right away I could take a bit of a bigger breath. So that's step two. Step three, I'm going to write out or speak out whatever my jackals are, my judgments, interpretations, and so on. And the jackals all revolve around the fact of she's going to fall in love with someone. Of course she is. They're doing such intimate work day after day, all day. I know. I've been to workshops intensives. You fall in love. Why? Because it's so intimate. You're opening your heart. And my inner leader welcomes all of that. I'll often bring in, again, I've got you, to that part. That's that whole story. Welcome. Welcome to all that story. I don't want to fight any part of what's going on in me. Number four, I might say it all again with the full intensity. What are the sensations I notice in my body? I'm not completely connected to it right now because I'm teaching it, but I know that when it's really alive, there's a fear. It's fear in the realm of terror, I would say. Again, this is from this very young part. And jumping a little bit ahead, it's because this situation is reminding me of other times where I was afraid of my bond with an important woman in my life. So part of where the fear is coming from. and part of why it feels almost like terror. So then my inner leader says, welcome fear, welcome terror, I've got you, I'm with you. I like to work with breath, that may or may not work for you. Sometimes I imagine my inner leader is traveling right along with my breath to wherever I'm feeling those sensations. I think I skipped the sensations and went right to the fear and the terror. The sensation is it's like a hollow, empty void in my belly, something like that. And within that sensation in my belly is this fear. Welcome fear, I've got you. Welcome. I'm with you. I'm right here. And then I go to the needs. For me, it's like I'm speaking from my inner leader right to this very young part. Do you need to know that you matter? Do you need reassurance? Do you need to know that you're connected to love no matter what? Do you need comfort? I'm going fairly quickly here. All of these steps can take quite a bit longer, obviously. I like to go for the deepest need, so I keep asking myself, so is reassurance, that reassurance or met, is there a deeper need? Oh, peace. There would be peace. Trust. Maybe it's a sense that I'm enough, just as I am. And then if you're having a difficult time finding your need, well, if the thing that I wanted to have happen happened, what need would that meet? And what's the thing I want? I want her to be back right here, not connecting so intimately with everybody else. That would meet my need for reassurance, security. And next, connecting as fully to my needs as I can, staying with my breath, holding them with my inner leader, allowing myself to grieve. When I'm getting in touch with young parts, there's often a mourning that I've been holding on to that I didn't get to have. And then I want to get into the living energy of the need. Sometimes grieving and mourning just flushes me right into the beautiful living energy of the need. Like I just land in a pool of the living energy of that need. But other times I'll ask myself, what does this need feel like when it's fully met? How do I feel or move in my body when this need is met? Does it have an image or a sound or a color? So that's what step 7 is about. Because I really want to feel the energy of the need, the inspiration of the need. And then if I need to act, I want to act from that energy. If I need to talk through something with her, I want to talk through something with that energy. And then finally, especially if I'm going to talk through something, I can start making guesses as to what need is she meeting by doing a month program that's so deep and intimate. And I have lots of guesses about that. And I want to acknowledge that self-empathy sometimes is really helpful for me, and sometimes I need support. So I do have lots of times where I reach out to get empathy. I really try to have both in my life, regular self-empathy and regular empathy from others. So I think that's enough for now. If you have any questions, because I really want you to be able to practice this, or if you want to make, if you have something to share about this process.
Number 7, is it the energy of the need being met that you take action from?
Yeah, one way to get in touch with the living energy is to remember how it's been met for you in the past, or how it could be met for you, or what it feels like when it's met. And in doing that needs to be separate from the situation, because obviously the situation is not being met. So it has to, you're drawing on that living energy from other experiences or from visualizing other things.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So that's generally when you feel the shift.
Generally a shift when I allow myself to grieve and feel whatever painful feelings are there. And then there's also a shift if I can really get into that living energy as well.
Okay. Thank you.
the things that I invite you to explore are practicing the can I see if I understand you, see how many times you can bring that into your day, build your relationship with your inner leader or whatever name you want to give it. I like to sit once a day at least and hold myself with my inner leader, and then also use that inner leader in my practice of my self-empathy, which we just went through. And then journaling, practice the somatic-based empathy, the content reflection, or traditional empathy.
Thank you, Sarah, for such a rich session. It was really sweet to hear you move through those different stages of empathy.